tonight I'm going to look at is love is patient and kind. So I'm going right to the very beginning. Now, when I first looked at love is patient, I kind of thought, ah, that's nice. That's really lovely. Love is patient and kind. It's nice. And then when I realised I had to talk about it, I thought, oh, no. I'm going to have to live this as well, aren't I? So I've been on my best behaviour all week. I'm being really patient and really kind, and it's all very nice and lovely. And patience and kind is one of those things that's just endearing qualities, isn't it? We love to see people who are patient and kind. We love our friends to be patient and kind. And I don't want you to judge me, but this week I went to the library with Evie to get some books out, and I found this book. And I've got Fern and Holly's Guide to Being Best Friends. And you know what? It's an interesting read, and it's full of lists. There's loads of lists, there's loads of pictures and everything. If you want an easy read, this is the one to get. And Holly and Fern have been friends, best friends, for 10 years. They've worked together at different times, but they're in the same industry, and their friendship is really strong. And the first list that they do is this one, 5 things that make a great friend. And Fern's list is there: someone you instantly love, someone who can listen, thoughtful gestures and treats. I would like a friend like that. Having a laugh and being able to forgive. And then Holly's list is truthfulness, trust, understanding, laugh at each other, and someone who listens. Now, aren't they great friendship qualities to have? And they obviously see that in each other, otherwise they wouldn't be friends. And what caught me when I read those lists is patience and kindness runs through it. And a lot of those things, you've got someone who you instantly love, someone who will listen to you, someone who is truthful and trustworthy. They are big, kind and patient qualities to have in friendship. And it's something that we do look for, and it is a really endearing quality and something that we would like for ourselves, to be patient and kind, but for people to be patient and kind to us as well. So it's a big deal, so there's no pressure, then it's all going to be fine. But what we do need to remember is when we look at patience and kindness, that it does come out of a place of love. It says love is patient and kind. So we're not just looking at be patient, be kind. Actually, it's love is patient and kind. And we always need to go back to what Jesus said. And when we look at his life, and to be honest, when you look at Jesus, you could pick any amount of story from Jesus, can't you? And when you look at one of them, his first miracle, my little thing's not working. Yay. And when you look at Jesus' life, you can look at his first miracle. Now, his first miracle, he's there, he's at a wedding, and it's all going really great. Then all of a sudden, the wine runs out. What is he to do? The couple must be absolutely humiliated. It's like the worst thing ever to lose all your wine. What are we going to do? We haven't got enough wine. What's happening? And then Jesus comes in and changes the water into wine. How amazing. Instead of that couple being remembered for the couple that ran out of wine at the wedding forever, oh yeah, there they are, over there, that's them, ran out of wine, not good. They were then remembered because of Jesus for saving the best for last. How amazing. All because of Jesus' kindness. And another thing is to look at, there's the wine glass, is to think of the woman who came before in at Simon's house. She went into Simon's house, probably a prostitute. We're not sure, but supposedly she had many sins. So we're not sure what those sins are. And everyone knew who she was. And there she was. She came in crying, so thankful to Jesus that she poured wine, perfume. Can you imagine pouring wine on his feet? Perfume on his feet. And crying, washing his feet with her tears and rubbing them with her hair. And what an amazing scene that was. And everyone was condemning her, saying, who does she think she is coming in here? Don't you know who she is, Jesus? How are you allowing her to do this? And Jesus, in his kindness, says, your sins are many, but you are forgiven. How kind is he? But that's not the story I'm going to talk about. The story I'm going to talk about is about a woman. And Jesus has just come off a boat. He's been traveling across the lake, and he gets off a boat, and Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, comes running over to him and falls at his feet. He's like, Jesus, please, please come and help me. My daughter is dying. Please come and heal her. Just come to my house. Just come now and come and save her. And Jesus, as he does, says, all right then, and off they go. Now, there was loads of people there. There was a huge, massive crowd. Now, the crowd don't stay. They follow Jesus. And you can imagine, isn't it, like the celebrities of today, all the paparazzi, they're all like jostling, trying to get their hands on him. Jesus, Jesus, come and heal me. Jesus, Jesus, over here. Just look in my direction. I'm over here. Jostling, trying to touch him. Everything going on. And he's just on his way to one of the most important people's houses in that place, over to Jairus' house. And in that crowd is a woman who's been ill for 12 years. She's been bleeding constantly over 12 years, and she's part of that crowd. And there she is, just trying desperately to get to Jesus. If only I could touch his robe. I don't even need to touch him. He doesn't even need to say anything to me. I'll just quietly sneak up and touch him. So then she starts meandering through the crowd, trying to get through. There's loads of people there, but she starts to get a bit of a glimpse. There he is. He's there. Maybe I can touch him. Maybe I can. And as she reaches out her hand and touches his robe, she's instantly healed. Now, could you imagine being that woman? 1 minute, 12 years, she's been bleeding constantly. And in an instant, touching his robe, she's completely healed. Oh, my goodness. She probably, time stops still. What's going on? I can't believe it. I'm healed. How did this happen? This is amazing. And as this happens, Jesus turns around, and she probably hears just in the back of her mind, "Who touched me?" And the ground, she says, "Please swallow me up. Just let me go." But he says, "No, who touched me?" Now the disciples were like, "What do you mean, who touched you? Everyone's around you. Loads of people are touching you. You can't possibly ask that question. Everyone wants a bit of a piece of you now." And Jesus says, "No, someone touched me. I felt healing come from my body." And the woman, who probably hasn't been noticed for 12 years, no one will have spoken to her or even wanted anything to do with her, thinks, "I've got to come forward." So there she is. She comes forward, and just like Jairus a few minutes earlier, sat at his feet, and she said, "Jesus, it was me." And she explained over the last 12 years what had been happening, how she'd been bleeding, how she'd spent all her money on doctors trying to get better, how she had nothing left. She had no one and nothing. And in front of all of that crowd, she explains what happens. And Jairus is still there waiting for Jesus to come and heal his daughter. And there they are, Jesus spending time with her. And these are the words he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Now, can you imagine hearing those words? 12 years she had been shunned. She wouldn't have been allowed to be near anyone. She was seen as unclean. No one touch her. No one go near her. And the first words she hears from Jesus' mouth is, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." How kind is that? It's the only time Jesus uses "daughter" to refer to any other woman. It's the only time in the Bible that he does that. And it's for this woman. "Daughter, your faith has made you well." And, you know, there's so much we can learn from that. That, you know, he is such an amazing man that he did all of that and then just was so kind to her. And the first thing that Jesus did when we look at his kindness is that he noticed. He noticed this woman who's been invisible for 12 years. He noticed the fact that there was a feeling that came out of him, and he stopped and considered. And in the busyness, he was off to Jairus. And, I mean, it must have been a hurry. His daughter was dying. Jairus must have been saying, "Come on, you're not coming fast enough. Come quickly, come quickly. We need to get there." But no, he said, I've noticed something here. Someone's in need, and someone needs me. And what an amazing thing that he did that. And it's sometimes easy to miss things, isn't it, when there's something going on in people's lives, or we can just carry on with life in our busyness. But he stopped and he noticed. And I've noticed, like, there's some people here, like Bex, she always notices if I'm not very well. It doesn't matter if I'm, like, nearly better or there's just a mild thing. Bex will always send a text through saying, "Just to let you know, I have noticed that you're not very well and I'm praying for you." It doesn't matter when it is. She always does it. And it's amazing. It's really kind. So the next thing he does is he listens. She had to tell her whole story to him. And he stood. And with all the jostling around, all the crowd, everyone around him, Jairus saying, "Please," obviously would have been, "Please, Jesus, come and heal my daughter. You're taking your time. Why have you stopped?" That he stood and he listened to her. 12 years, people would not have listened to this woman. 12 years of being on her own. And there he is, listening to what she has to say. And I know it's great when we all go for coffee. Some of us went for coffee on Friday, and it was lovely just to spend time chatting with each other and getting to know each other and having a laugh together. And it was such a really nice thing to do. And Jesus does that. He's kind, and he listened to what she had to say. And he spent time with her, and he affirmed her. In front of all of that crowd, where everyone would have been, "Oh, shut this woman up. I can't believe you've just done that." She probably was still not looking her best. She wouldn't have been the favourite person there. In fact, Jairus was the favourite person there. Everyone would have been looking at him. But there she is in front of him, and he affirms her and says, "Daughter. Daughter." I mean, how amazing must that have been? And what an amazing thing. And on top of all of that, he heals her. I mean, that's pretty incredible, isn't it? In itself, that would have been enough, but he goes extra and does all of these amazing things. Now, when I look at this list, I think, well, I can do that. I can do all of them things. It's not hard to do. And it makes me think, oh, that's amazing. Jesus can do it. And it's amazing that he did it for this woman, but I can do that every day. I can notice if one of my friends isn't feeling so good. I can spend some time listening to someone and spending some time with them. And I can send a cheeky little text saying, "I think you're lovely." "That's nice. Thank you. Thanks for being my friend." We can all do that. And it's something that's easy. And it's not always the big, massive things that make an impact and a difference. Sometimes it's the really small things of just that text, that smile across the room or something like that, that can really make a difference. And I know when Evie was born, I had loads of help. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who did help me during that time, because having a baby is hard. I'm not going to lie, it's really hard. I love Evie to bits. She's amazing. But when you first have a baby, it throws everything up. You can't even do the most simple things of washing the dishes, washing your clothes, cooking food or anything like that. I was completely inept of all of those things for about 3 weeks. I was just useless. But I had people around me who did those things for me. It was amazing. I had for a whole week, Hannah organised people making food for me. I had Sarinda would come over and visit, and instead of wanting to hold the baby, she'd go in the kitchen and do my dishes. I was like, "Sarinda, you don't have to do it." And she's like, "No, I'll do your dishes." I even had a couple of people ironing for me. Now, I hate ironing. And I had two people offer to do my ironing periodically over a few months. And, you know, that was one of the kindest things. I hate it. If anyone wants to know, I do have a huge pile of ironing again. As I'm talking about kindness, I'm willing to have kindness poured in that direction. So come and see me after and you can have my ironing. But yeah, it was such a nice thing to do. And it's those things that really helped me during that time. And I was just so grateful. So thank you for that. Now, what comes with kindness? You can't really talk about kindness without talking about patience as well. And when you look at God's patience, it is vast and it is big. And we can see God's grace through the patience that he has for us. And it says that his kindness and patience leads us to repentance. The kindness that Jesus showed that going on the cross, it says in Romans, that it does lead us to being saved, leads us to wanting to get to know him. And his patience and his grace over our lives is so vast and so big. It says in Psalm 103 that he is slow to get angry. He's slow to anger. Me, not so much. I'm a little bit quicker to get angry. But patience is something I'm working on in my life. And it's something that we can look at when we look at Jesus to say he was so, so patient. He is so, so kind. And another story that Jesus told was about the unforgiven servant. I don't need to go into it all. I'm sure we all know the story. You've got the king who was getting his accounts in order, and he noticed that one of his servants owed him some money. So he went to the servant, "I need your money now, please." And the servant begged him, "Just give me a bit more time, please. Be patient with me. Just a little bit longer." And the king gave had pity on him and said, okay, not only will I give you time, I'm going to let you off with this one. I'm going to forgive you of all of your debts. And off he went, happy as Larry. And then he gets to his servant who owes him a little bit of money, not as quite as much as what he owed, and does the same and says, I need that money off you. And the other servant says, I'm really sorry, just a little bit more time. Just be patient with me, just that little bit longer. And he says, no, I don't think so. I want that money now. And he's like, oh, please, I will give you the money. I don't expect you to let me off. I'll give you the money. Just don't worry about, just please a little bit more time. Please be a bit more patient with me. And he's like, no chance am I going to do that. And we all know how the story ends. He goes to prison. Then the king finds out, gets the other one off. The other one goes to prison, and it doesn't end well for the unforgiven servant. You can read the rest, Matthew 18. So you can see how each of them asked for patience. They didn't ask to be let off. They didn't expect to be forgiven. He wanted to be able to pay it, but he just said, please, can I have some patience? And the king, who is God, said, I'm not just going to give you patience. I'm actually going to let you off. He gave him more than patience. He forgave him. It went beyond the patience. And in comparison, if we look back at the woman who was who came to Jesus in Simon's house, who was there in front of him on the floor crying, saying, thank you, Lord, just wanting to please him, washing his feet with her tears and her hair, pouring perfume on his feet, saying, please, Lord, I want to be in front of you. She knew what it was to be forgiven. She knew what she had done. And as the others were jeering at her, complaining about her, saying, Jesus, how dare you let her do this to you? What do you think you are doing? This was her response. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Now, to be honest, we have that choice. And it is a choice for us that we can be the unforgiven servant, or we can be like this woman who came to Jesus' feet saying, please be patient with me, please. And we can be either one of these people. And again, it's patience is one of those hard things to do sometimes. We're a culture of wanting things now, aren't we? But actually to slow down and be patient is something that, again, if we go back to Fern and Holly, something that's really wanted in friendship and in love. And some things that can really help us with our patience is, firstly, is to forgive. There's nothing like forgiving someone that will give you patience for that person. Now, for me, I am quick sometimes in not being able to hold my patience. I like things done now and quickly and as soon as possible. That is my kind of personality, but I'm learning to hold back and be patient, but also to forgive. That when something does go wrong, we do hurt each other. We're not perfect. Someone is going to say something that maybe they didn't mean, or that they're going to do something that wasn't quite nice to you, but to forgive them and say, do you know what? I forgive you. Patience kind of washes over you. And I suppose it's grace that washes over you. Just like Jesus has grace for us and the things that we've done wrong, that he's forgiven so much in our lives, that we can forgive that person for the little that maybe they've done in our lives. And when I was on the gap, there was a boy that wound me up a little bit. He was the boys on the gap weren't angels, to say the least. They were interesting boys, but under it all, they were lovely, lovely boys. All they wanted was to be loved and cared for and to be accepted. But this one boy, I had a bit of an issue with him. All he wanted to do was wind me and other people up. It was just what he came to the gap for. He'd come in and he'd just see and he'd be able to pick straight away how to be able to wind either the person up next to him by punching them, or a little sly dig about what happened the night before, to be able to say something to me that would just let my temper rise a little bit. He just knew exactly what he was doing. And I was like, how do you do this? And he was the only boy that I would could get really, really riled about. So one night I thought, right, this can't go on. I can't go in tomorrow and get upset with this guy because it just eggs him on. He just wants to do it even more. So I would pull myself back and I said, right, Lord, I'm going to put it before you. I forgave him. I got before God and said, okay, what can I do? And God gave me an insight into this boy's life. So I thought, right, I'm going to go in tomorrow and it's going to be great. So I went in and I just spoke directly to him and I said, I know what you want to do, really calmly. I know that you're like a little bit of mischief. And he just looked at me shocked. Oh, I can't believe you've just said that. And I just treated him normally. I was kind. I didn't get riled with him. And over about 2 weeks, this boy changed. He wouldn't wind me up. He'd stop others from winding me up. His attitude completely changed. I thought, wow, that is amazing. Of one just change of my attitude towards him, my impatience towards him going, and me forgiving him has changed this guy's attitude. And he was a lot more kind and loving towards me as well. And it did make a huge difference. And the second thing we can do is seek understanding. And it says in Proverbs 14, slowness to anger makes for deep understanding. A quick temper person stockpiles stupidity. It's pretty harsh, but pretty true as well, isn't it? And, you know, when we understand something, if someone comes and explains maybe what's been happening, you can understand it a bit more, and it does give you a bit more patience. So, for example, you're waiting at home, and you need to be somewhere for, say, 6 o'clock, and you're there waiting. Someone's supposed to pick you up, and it's 5:50. We're going to be late. Okay, so you can stay nice and calm. And then it's 5:55. Okay, definitely late. Where are they? I can't believe it. You're at the window looking at the curtains, but not too much in case they see you and they turn up. And then you're there just waiting, getting more and more angry. Oh, what's that noise? Getting more and more angry at the situation. And I've just lost my train of thought. Yeah, and then it gets to 6 o'clock. Now you are really late and really angry. I can't believe it. They've let me down again. This isn't the first time. All in your head, obviously. And it's all going on and you are absolutely fuming. And then there's a knock at the door. I am so, so sorry I'm late. I got caught in traffic or my car broke down. I'm really sorry. And instantly, as soon as you see them and the apology comes, forgiven. And you're patient again. Understanding can bring patience. And just having given that time and given that space, not to jump in, not to jump down somebody's throat, to give that space and time to seek understanding, but also to forgive, makes a massive difference in how we treat people and how patient we can be. But what we do need to remember out of all of this is that it comes out of love. It says love is patient. And love is kind. And for me, I can get caught up on let's be kind and let's be patient and forget that actually it's about loving somebody first. And that's what it comes from. And it says that God is love, that Jesus is love. So he can do this perfectly. When it says love is patient and kind, God is perfectly patient with us and perfectly kind with us. He doesn't go over the edge. He does all of these things absolutely perfectly. And the more we spend time with him, the more we can be like that. It's like spending time with someone who's grumpy, isn't it? Spend time with a grumpy person, you end up grumpy with them, end up having a little bit of a complaint, and that's what you like for the rest of the day. Or if you spend time with someone who's happy and really wants to go out and do something, you end up wanting to go out and do something with them. That's what happens. And when you spend time with Jesus, you do become more like him. And if he is love, then we do naturally just become more loving in his presence. And it says in Galatians 5 as well that some of the fruits of the Spirit are patience and kindness. So we have the Holy Spirit living in us too. So we don't just have to spend time with him, but actually we can draw on the resources that he's given in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. So as we let him lead us, as we draw close to him, the kindness and the patience of God will rise up in us and we'll be able to give that out to other people as well. So I just want to finish by really just coming back to that by saying, we are perfectly loved by God. He has chosen us and he's chosen to love us. And we have a choice to make whether we love others, whether we're patient with people, and whether we're kind with people. But he's already made his choice for us, and he is those things for us. And I want to read one of my favourite psalms now, Psalm 103. And it says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." He loves us. He has removed our sins, and he is slow to get angry, and he is abounding in love for us. How amazing is that? So shall we just pray? Lord, I thank you that you loved us first. It's because you love us that we can love others, and I thank you for that. And as we look to be more patient and kind, I pray that we will draw on the resources that you've given us. That it says that the fruits of the Spirit are patience and kindness, along with all of the others. And I pray that we will live in that, knowing that we can do this, that those points are doable points. It's not so far-reaching that we can't put that in our own lives. And I just pray that this week and the weeks ahead, we will be able to live out a bit more patiently and a bit more kindly, because you loved us first, so we can love others. Thank you, Lord. Amen.